Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So I call this a horrible, wonderful disease. It's horrible because of what it does to you. It's wonderful in the sense it gives you time to reflect on your life, do good things, be with the people you love, and say goodbye.
And we welcome you to this edition of Tuesday People, the podcast. I'm your host, Mitch Albom, the author of the book Tuesdays with Maury. The man sitting across from the voice that you just heard, Maury Schwartz, some 27, 28 years ago now, as he shared that sentence and many, many more. Lisa Goetz is alongside my friend and producer of the program. Lisa, as always, it's lovely to work with you.
Ah, nice to work with you too, Mitch. I look forward to this every single week.
I do too. This comes, however, on the 24 hours of a very sad experience for me. A dear friend of mine called me over the weekend and said, now he's my age, his wife my age, and he said, I don't know how to tell you this, but last night while we were sleeping, about 2 o'clock in the morning, my wife woke up. Her heart was racing. She said that she never felt anything like this before. I didn't know what to do. I called 911. She couldn't catch her breath. I tried to, you know, pound on her chest a little bit like they teach you in CPR classes. Mm. She said, you don't need to do that. So he stopped. And then her face sort of tightened up kind of in a grimace and she died.
Oh, my God.
She died from a blood clot, as it turns out,
that
had traveled from her leg up to her heart, cut off the oxygen to her, or up to her lungs, cut off the oxygen to her heart, and she died.
Oh, my God.
It was
gosh.
A matter of minutes, as is often the case with a blood clot. Now, it wasn't anything predictable. She was in great health. She had had an operation a few days earlier for a hernia.
Oh, my goodness.
But near as they can tell, there wasn't any connection to that. Most of the doctors seemed to feel like this was just something that was going to happen. She was in excellent health, excellent mm-hmm. shape. If you met her, she was a lovely, robust, intelligent, lively woman who took care of herself physically as well as spiritually. And she was just here. And then just like that, she died in her husband's arms.
Oh, my gosh.
By the time the 911 came, it was too late. And they were there within 5 minutes. So EMS,
wow.
You know.
Yeah.
So why do I bring this up? Certainly not to shock anybody and not to make anybody feel bad and not to shock you, Lisa. I bring it up because this is life and this is the end of life. And in fact, this particular person who passed away, she would always talk about, you know, the fuss that people made over dying with a bit of a curiosity, because she said it's something that happens to everyone. It is the single unifying thing that we have with one another.
That is true.
Is the fact that we're going to die. Everything else about us can be different. Everything. But the one thing we definitely have in common with every single person on this planet, no matter what their age, their ethnicity, their background, their religion, etc., is that they're going to die. Why is it that it seems so taboo to talk about it?
You know, Mitch, and by the way, just as you were saying that, I think if we all looked at people and realized that and thought about that, we might be more unified. You know?
It
is
question.
It is the great unifier.
Yeah.
and we would treat people kinder. We would just be better people all around. If when looking at somebody else, we kept that in mind, you know?
Oh. Well, Maury did. And Maury would often talk about how much empathy he felt towards other people once he himself got sort of a death sentence. And it raises the question that I want to raise in today's podcast, which is, and I don't mean to be morbid with this question, but people have this discussion all the time. Is it better to die quickly and suddenly without warning or expectation, but also without long suffering?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it better to have time, get a diagnosis that prepares you, decay physically, maybe emotionally and mentally too, but over time, so that your loved ones have a chance to share with you what they wish, and you have a chance perhaps to follow up on the things you want to do? Which would you choose? And this question needs to be split in two. Mm. Which would you choose for yourself?
Oh, I know.
And which would you choose for your loved ones? So let's examine this for a moment. I went over to the house of my friend the night that he called me, less than 24 hours after his wife had died. He lives right nearby me. I drove over just because I just thought, you know, it's one thing to talk to somebody on a phone. It's another thing to just be in person. And I grabbed three pizzas before I went over there from a place that we both love, used to eat there, and brought them over to the house. And sure enough, as I somewhat suspected, he was alone except for his two sons who had flown in from the East Coast. And they were sitting in the living room of their home. And it was like a surreal scene to sit with them and to see the shocked is too small a word, stunned is too small a word, gobsmacked begins to start to approach it, but is still too small a word. There is no look on the human face like the look of sudden realization that you will never see a loved one again and you are not prepared for it.
Yeah.
It's a different look than people who have sat with their ailing parents or grandparents and watch them over weeks and months, maybe years, decay. It's different. It's a different look. It's a look of shock and disbelief that is, you can see that it's too much for the human soul to bear. I say that because, and please understand, I mean this in the absolute most humanly respectful way when I share this small little anecdote. We were sitting in the living room, and there were, you know, all guys. And there was a football game that was being played that night. Under a normal circumstance, they would have all gotten together just to watch the football game.
Mm-hmm.
So the football game was on the TV with no sound. And as we were sitting there in grief and shock, periodically, the husband would go from, I can't believe this. I can't, you know, she was just here. I just can't believe it. And then there'd be a moment of silence. And he'd say, look at that play. It's awful. They dropped the ball like that. And then a moment later would be, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Now, I don't want anybody to interpret that as, oh, he was being insensitive to his wife's memory and so on.
No.
Exactly the opposite.
Yes.
It was such an overwhelming loss that the only human defense was to sort of take it in small bites.
Yeah.
Like, okay. It's washing. It felt just like watching the ocean break, ocean waves break. Huge wave breaks, followed by this sort of calm. This huge wave, oh my God, I can't believe it. What do you mean? I'm never going to see her again. And then the only way to deal with it is like kind of pull back. And it's like, oh, look at that football play. Look at that pass, long pass. Because if you just stayed in that moment of pure and absolute horror and grief, you would die yourself.
Yeah, it's really hard. I've been on both sides of that, right? Mostly the sudden ones are friends, right? Because a lot of the people that were like, you know, older people like my mom's age or your mom's age, you know, they died a slower death, mm-hmm. you know, from something that lasted a while. But those people who are my friends still to this day, I'm like, I can't believe it. I just talked to him yesterday. You know, how did this happen? Just so many of those.
Right.
It's a hard thing to process. It's so hard because you feel there's so many. I mean, I know you're probably going to bring this up, but there's just so many loose ends with it. Like, I never got to tell her, blah, blah, blah. We never got to do this. We should have. I should have. It's just, I don't know. It's a tough one. It's a tough one.
Well, in this case, this particular individual was such a warm, loving, open and loquacious, you know, talkative person that her sons and her husband both said she left nothing unsaid. You know, this we don't have any feeling of like, oh my God, I never told her I loved her, or
right.
we had that argument that was still hanging out there. She wasn't like that. Every discussion she had, she would say how much she loved them and deal with a lot of deep topics. And that's a great lesson because you never know when it is going to be the last discussion you're going
yeah.
to.
Yeah.
And it's important. That's why anybody that I care about, I know sometimes people, you know, people listen in on your conversations or you're sitting next to somebody when the phone rings or that, you know, you get a FaceTime call and they look over and I'm kind of unabashedly, if it's a family member, I always say, I love you, you know, I'm proud, or if it's one of the kids, I love you, I'm proud of you. And I say that every single call I have. And, you know, sometimes you're at work or you're next to somebody you just met, you know, or you're doing some business thing with, and it seems a little hokey or a little private to be, you know, saying that in front of somebody, but I don't care because I don't know if that's going to be the last discussion I ever have. And I want them to always know that that's how I feel. And it's, you know, it's no big deal. You just tag it on at the end. Conversation. Okay, I love you. You know, okay, I say it to Nadi every time I hold her and pick her up and put her down, you know, and nothing's going to happen to her. But you know, I want her to grow up hearing that sentence all the time.
That's normal, right? Like that should be a normal thing to say.
We'll be back with more Tuesday People right after this.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Ladies and gentlemen.
What are you doing?
What do you mean?
Keep it simple.
I'm making the promo.
Just keep it simple. Just say, hey, we're the Brav Bros, two guys that talk about Bravo.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're the Brav Bros.
No.
Oh.
Dude, stop with the voice. Keep it simple.
I've seen promos on TV, dude. This is how you get the fans engaged. This is how you get listeners. We're trying to get listeners here. If we just say, oh, we're two dudes that talk about Bravo, people are going to get tired of it already. We need some oomph.
All right, then fine. Let's try to do it with your voice.
Brav Bros.
Good job.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
5-1-0, declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
I remember a terrible, sad story Rabbi once told me about standing next to a man as he buried his wife at the cemetery. And after all the mourners had left, the man was still there standing over his wife's grave. And the rabbi came to comfort him. And he was crying and he turned to the rabbi. He said, "I loved her so much. I loved her so much." And the rabbi nodded, of course, with that. And then he said, added, "And I almost told her a few times." You know, and that's the kind of regret that is tragic and you don't want to have to live with.
No.
Sudden death, an unexpected accident, a car crash, an embolism, a stroke, a heart attack, these things that they were just here. You know, that sentence, "They were just here. I just talked to them." And that, the 24 hours that have passed since I'm doing this podcast and the world has sort of found out the news, everybody who talks to one another, that's how they begin. I just saw her. I just spoke to her. We just texted. We just emailed. So this sudden disappearance brings with it this shovel to the head kind of clunk that nobody can really be prepared for. And you have to endure all these levels of how do I properly grieve? How do I say goodbye? How do I say goodbye? Goodbye has been said for me. So how do I go back now and somehow reclaim it and say, "No, I didn't get a chance to say my goodbye. How do I do that now when the person that I want to say goodbye to is no longer here in front of me?"
Right. You know what? So this is a question then. Every time you see somebody, as morbid as this sounds, should you treat it as this may be the last time that I ever see this person? So I want to make sure I tie up every moment with them in a nice little bow.
Well, I think you can do that in a positive way. The way you phrase the question is sort of like saying, "Now listen, you might die between now and tomorrow when I see you. So I want you to know all is forgiven." And I don't think anybody wants to live like that.
Mm-mm.
But telling somebody that you love them or never, you know, that expression, "never go to bed angry," which is a really, I think, good philosophy. Now imagine in this particular case, I told you this scenario, you know, the couple were in their bed of their home of many years, and she suffered her distress in the middle of the night and died in the middle of the night. Imagine if they had had some kind of argument and just went to bed angry.
Mm.
Imagine carrying that around for the rest of your life. So yes, in cases like that, little things you can do, don't ever, you know, walk away from a friend angry, a loved one, a spouse. But on the other hand, you can't live in the morbid moment all the time thinking death is just around the corner.
Yeah, that's true.
Now, I think as we're speaking and as we're broadcasting this, war has erupted in Israel, where I have many friends. And I can tell you that those people who are there now who can't fly out, now the planes are grounded, they don't know if a missiles are going to attack them, whatever, they are living in that moment.
Yeah.
They are living in that moment where, hey, it's possible that we could be gone. Look at these people who were snatched and pulled and kept being held as hostages now. All these people who went to a music festival and were murdered, their bodies left outside in the ground. The last discussions they had with their mothers and fathers, their sisters, their brothers, their loved ones, their friends, those will be the last conversations they ever had. So there's a lot of that going on right now in that little pocket of the world.
Yes.
Wait a minute, how can they no longer be here?
Yeah.
And so I think, okay, to wrap up this category, the choice of going quickly, suddenly, may be better for the individual who dies in that they're not subject to a prolonged decaying, "I don't want to live anymore. This pain is too much. I don't want to be on chemotherapy. I don't want any more drugs." That kind of thing. You know, they in the case of this individual, it was very rapid, you know, less than a couple minutes and gone.
Mm.
But I think the impact the impact of a sudden death is more haunting, more horrifying, and therefore in many ways more difficult to deal with than the second version. Now, the second version is more of what Maury suffered. The second version is the dragged out, I know I'm dying, I'm decaying, it's obvious it's going to happen soon kind of thing. Let me finish the quote that we played for you at the start of this podcast. Let me play for you the entire thing now.
So I call this a horrible, wonderful disease. It's horrible because of what it does to you. It's wonderful in the sense it gives you time to reflect on your life, do good things, be with the people you love and say goodbye, and, you know, make something of this time that prepares you. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you can have a heart attack or stroke, you're gone, and that's right. It. You have cancer, which has greater possibilities for cure, but so much more pain.
Right.
Or you can have AIDS, which is terrible for both. No cure, lots of pain.
So there you see Maury saying, you know, basically stating the whole premise of this conversation. So ALS, which he called horrible, wonderful, because horrible for him and tough for obviously the people who have to take care of him, but wonderful because all the time. And ALS does not affect your brain. So you are able to think through your thoughts. You know, you keep, doesn't slow down your mental capacity or anything like that. On the other hand, it can rob you of your ability to speak or communicate. So you have all these thoughts and you can't talk. Well, think of Augie Nieto, who I've spoken about many times on this program, who was, suffered with it for nearly 18 years. And most of that time was blinking on a little device or using his toe to tap out one letter at a time, the communication that he wanted to have. But he was still able to, even to his dying day, the day before, you know, he finally died, he was able to send messages to his wife, speak to his wife through this computer thing.
Right.
So in that way, it takes the horror out of the suddenness of the moment, but it asks the individual who is departing this earth to endure much more. And I don't know. I mean, if you were to ask me which way would I rather go, I don't know. I think the part of me that hates the idea of watching myself slowly decay and no longer be able to do this and no longer be able to do that. I tried to adopt that Cat Stevens song. You remember?
Oh, yeah. I love that song. Cats in the Cradle?
No. Oh. No. I love that song. Wrong. Not even the right artist.
Wrong.
No, Cat Stevens had that Cat song. If I ever lose my mouth, all my teeth, north and south. I ever lose my mouth, I won't have to talk no more. And if I ever lose my legs, you know, I won't have to walk. So he looks at it, if I lose my legs, I won't have to walk. If I lose my mouth, I won't have to talk. You know, trying to be positive about the decaying of the body.
Yeah.
But I don't know that I'm that brave. And I don't know that I'm that philosophical. I think it would be very tough to slowly, you know, go like that. On the other hand, I witnessed it happen with my mother. I witnessed it happen with my father, both victims of strokes that took a long time to ultimately take their lives. But we did say to them everything we wanted to say to them. Yeah. You know, we did have them. And when they died, there was a bit of that sense of, you know what, the suffering is over.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
The suffering is over and they're at peace now. You almost feel a sense of relief.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas you have no sense of relief when there's this sudden and quick death. None at all.
Yeah.
It's just horror. And it's just terror. So I don't know. What do you think? I mean, if you had to choose either for yourself or for a loved one, what would be your choice?
100,000% for myself, I want it to be prolonged. I am way too organized. If something happened to me, immediately, I think for whatever the afterlife is, I would be a complete anxious wreck that I never got. Oh my gosh, I never paid those three doctor bills that are on my desk. Oh my gosh. Like I would be, I think I would not rest easy if I went immediately. I need to, you know, gather ye rosebuds while ye may. Mm-hmm. I need to, I definitely need time. And I think I would rather have that for those around me. You know, I, like you were talking about your parents, and you visited my mom when she was dying. And, you know, we loved that time that we spent with my mom. It was two full weeks of little parties and love and food and story sharing. And, oh my goodness, I would never want to trade that for anything, you know?
Right.
And like you said, when it was all over, I had my closure the day that she found out that she'd only have 2 weeks to live. You know what I mean? That was my moment, and everything else was just a bonus after that. And I think it just gives you more time to appreciate, kind of, I don't know. But then I know a lot of people who just say, you know, I hope I die in my sleep. Mm-mm, I don't want that. Don't want that.
Well,
we can't choose.
Yeah, we can't choose. And it's not, you know, it's sort of just something to think about, but whichever you feel is more fitting for your life or your loved ones, take the proactive action that you can. For it. And if you think, you know, well, we're going to go fast and quick, that's what I want, then make sure you say everything that there is, you know. And if you think, well, a prolonged thing is going to happen, make sure you have things in, like you say, you know, that it can be arranged and taken care of. All I can tell you is, you know, witnessing this with my friends, I wouldn't wish it upon anybody.
No, it's hard. Just, I'm so sorry, Mitch.
The waves will continue to come and keep breaking, and for such a long period, I don't know that they ever really stop. So, you know, again, I don't mean to bring anybody down or do this in any kind of like, gosh, that's kind of a morbid conversation. But as my friend who has now passed away said, how can it be morbid when it's something that happens to all of us? It's the single unifying factor. Two things unify us. We're all born and we're all going to die.
Yep.
And there is no other subject that can be more unifying or that we can all have a say on. So give it some thought. Thank you, as always, for joining us on this week. We look forward to speaking to you again. Lisa Goich produces the program. We thank her for that. Check out our website at WeTuesdayPeople.com. Until we speak again with Lisa Goich, I'm Mitch Albom saying, see you next Tuesday.
Thank you for listening to Tuesday People. To be part of our conversation, join the Tuesday People community at WeTuesdayPeople.com. Subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss an episode and share it with your friends. We look forward to having you with us every Tuesday because, after all, we're Tuesday People.